Let me just mention in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, we've been looking at Paul's defense of his calling, of his ministry. And what he's looking at in this fifth chapter is motives for ministry. In other words, Paul's simply saying to the church of Corinth, why do I do what I do? Why did I come and preach Christ to you? Remember, in that first letter he sent to them, he had been into Corinth years earlier. Now he sent a letter to them rebuking them. They were very carnal, very worldly. And so Paul, in this fifth chapter, is talking about the motives. He's sharing his heart with these individuals about why he did what he did, what God had done through his life. We talked, first of all, about the fact that he was looking for an eternity with the Lord in a new body. That motivates us. We know that one day, whatever we're going through, whatever we have to give up to follow Jesus. I think about the seniors that are graduating. You know, whatever God called you to do, whatever you have to give up, if you had your own plans, own dreams, and all of a sudden God's saying something different, then believe me, whatever you're going to get in a result of that is far greater than whatever you give up. And Paul talked about that, the desire to live in the kingdom. We're going to get new bodies one day. We'll be with Jesus. And then we looked in chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, about the fact that we will have the judgment seat of Christ, which simply means this, that one day you will give an account, I will give an account of what I did once I gave my life to Christ. In other words, God's got a plan for your life. And one day you'll give an account to God. Now, we all have escaped the great white throne judgment where individuals will be sentenced to eternity in hell without Christ, but there's still a judgment seat of Christ where every believer will stand and everybody that's there will go to heaven. We're all saved. But we still have that accountability, and that judgment seat motivates us to do God's will. You know, one day he's going to ask us, did you do what I asked you to do? And then we looked last Sunday morning in verses 12 through 15 at the love of God. In other words, we do what we do because we love the Lord. We love him and we want to honor him. We want to serve him. We don't want to do what we do out of some obligation or we have to. It's because we love Jesus, because we want to honor him and please him. Not only that, we love his people. We love individuals, and Jesus talked about that. So Paul is saying, ultimately, I came to you because I love the Lord, and God called me to come to Corinth. Not only that, but I'm pouring my life out for you because I love you. And I want you to know Christ. And he did so many things and sacrificed so much at Corinth because of all that he did. Let me just challenge you with all these things. We looked at the fact, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, which means his motive, God's motive for ministering to us was love. And it should be the same in all of us. We do what we do this morning. We come and we gather here, not because we have to. I'm not under some obligation, because I want to. I love the Lord. I want to honor him and obey him. Not only that, but I want to minister to God's people. We want to gather together as a body and worship the Lord and pray and praise him. That's part of it. But this fourth part in this fifth chapter, we'll end the chapter with this section, is all about the ministry of itself. What I mean by that is Paul is saying the ministry itself is a motivating factor in my life. I do what I do because there's this ministry in front of me. And Paul understands this ministry in some way, in order to say that in and of itself is a motivation to serve the Lord. We'll look into that this morning. And let me just say this. You know, all of us have been called. I'm not talking about people in the pulpit. I'm not talking about missionaries going overseas, even though it relates to all of us. But I'm talking about every one of us. You're called to minister. You're called to serve the Lord. You're called to follow Jesus and to do what he wants you to do. That's ministry. You're called to make an impact on the lives of those that you're around, whether it's in your own family or in your job or your school or your culture, whatever it may be, your neighborhoods. God wants us to make an impact. And one of the motivating factors is the ministry itself. The ministry itself motivates us. Or another way to say that is, what would you rather do? Bill widgets or see lives changed? What's more satisfying, building widgets or seeing lives transformed by the grace of God? So whether God's called you to build widgets, and maybe he has, you're still called to minister. And I do what I do, maybe to make a living and earn a paycheck. That's part of our responsibilities. The Bible says in Genesis, God's called us to work. The Bible says, that, you know, work is important. And yet still in that workplace, in that job that I have or where I'm going to school, God's called me a minister. And I've got to see the ministry itself is a motivating reason why I go to work. It's not just about the paycheck. It's not just about clocking in and clocking out. It's about seeing lives changed. And that's far more satisfying and rewarding. Do you know that 70% of people in jobs hate their jobs or don't like it? They wish they could change? 70%. I'm only saying that because I believe one of the keys, as we'll look at this morning in our study, is in order to look at your job in a completely different aspect. So it's not a job. God's called you there. If you've been led by the Spirit, if you're doing what God wants you to do, that's part of the journey we go through when we get out of high school, or we get out of college. Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't know what, to, you know, whatever. It takes a while sometimes. But once we go into that area, or maybe you're in school today, maybe you haven't yet graduated. You know, I'll say this. You still have a ministry. There are people around you. And the ministry itself should be more important to you than school. The ministry itself should be more important to you than the job. Or whatever it is you're doing. And Paul brings that out. It's a motive. It's a motive. What is the motivating factor for ministry? Well, the ministry itself. We'll see that as we go along. Look, if you will, first of all, in that in our passage, in that 16th verse. The 16th verse. Look what he says in verse 16. Paul says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. And what he means by that is, I don't judge a person by what I see. I want you to think about today. Our culture today is always judging people by what they see, by what they say, by how they look, by how much money they make, what color their skin is. Every time you hear anything about our culture, our world, it's always bringing that up. It's a major factor. What does Paul say in verse 6? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Then he goes on to say, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus longer. You know, we used to look at his life. Paul, of course, being a Jew, raised in the Jewish culture, heard about Jesus. He was doing everything that he could to imprison Christians. He hated Christians. He judged Jesus by the flesh. Who does this guy think he is? He's not a Pharisee, or he's not a Sadducee. He just comes from a carpenter's family, born in Bethlehem. Who's this guy? Growing up in Nazareth, you know? So they looked at him based upon, well, he's a Jew. And he was raised in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, whatever it may be. That's completely physical. And Paul is saying, my life has changed. Paul used to judge people by that. He was prejudiced. Oh, you're just a Gentile. Well, I'm a Jew. Or you're just a Sadducee. Well, I'm a Pharisee. And Paul said, I was the Pharisee of the Pharisee. You know, and the Jews looked at all the Gentiles as unclean and ungodly. They looked at people prejudicially. And I want to say this. Any kind of prejudice, prejudging people by outward appearance, is ungodly and absolutely sinful. And our world is eaten up by that. Our culture is being eaten alive by that. Judging people by what they believe or what they say, whatever it may be. And then making just generalities. Hating people because maybe you are this color or because you have this job or you have this money. And it's just nothing but judging people by outward standards. And Paul is saying in verse 8, I speak not as, excuse me, I was on the wrong page. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we used to judge Christ. We looked at Christ according to the flesh. In other words, God changed my life. Another way to say that is this. The ministry completely dealt with this attitude of judging others by what I see. I used to look at people and think, well, you're just a Gentile. You know, the Jews wouldn't even go through the area of Samaria because they were half Jew and half Gentile. They wouldn't even talk to a Samaritan woman or a Samaritan man. Why? Because they were half Jew and half Gentile. The Assyrians imported the, you know, Gentiles into that area when they destroyed the northern kingdom. And they began to intermarry with Jewish people. And to the Jew, well, we don't even talk to Samaritans because after all, they're unclean. Completely prejudiced. Or another way to say that, is our culture, not focused on prejudice attitudes? Whether you're black or white or how much money you make or what you say or what you don't say or how you look. It's eating our culture alive. And Paul said, I used to look at people like that, but the ministry has transformed my heart. I don't look at people like that anymore. I don't see people the way that I used to see people. Now think about it like this. Paul was a Jew raised in a Jewish culture, taught that the Gentiles were unclean. He calls himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were conservative. They're very conservative in their view of Scripture. They believed the Bible. They believed the Word of God. They believed in an afterlife. Paul was raised very strict. And he was taught that the Gentiles were unclean. And here it is. He gets saved. He gets born again. He gets converted. And all of a sudden, God calls him to go to these people and minister to them. It's an amazing reality of the power of the ministry of preaching the gospel and what happens to an individual that is filled with prejudice and hate and judging people by what they see. It changes lives. That's what Paul's saying. That's exciting. God hates prejudice. God hates judging people by outward standards and outward appearances. It's very important. Look in verse 17. Look what he says in verse 17. Secondly, he says this, therefore, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and everything becomes new. Paul is saying, look, this is what happened to me. I met Jesus in that ninth chapter of Acts on the road to Damascus, going to imprison Christians. I met Christ. I was transformed. I was born again. I was a new creation. God doesn't just take a person that's filled with prejudice and work on them. God makes a new creation. God makes people completely new. That's what the gospel does. That's what the ministry does. That's what the preaching of the word does. It impacts lives. And Paul is saying that. So in other words, if you look at what he's saying was, you know, again, do you want to go and make widgets? Or do you want to see people transformed? Individuals that are filled with prejudice and hatred or offended by everything in the world, or maybe they got all kinds of problems with sin or pornography or all kinds of things in their lives. Do you want to try to work on that, or do you want to see the gospel come and transform them into new creations? Paul is saying, do you understand what happens when we go and do what God called us to do? Yes, I may be working in a factory making widgets, maybe flipping burgers. I may be sitting down there balancing books, you know, whatever it may be, or making things. But there's nothing like this. There's nothing that motivates us to know that Jesus can take a person that's a drug addict or a prostitute and change their life. And how does he do that? By making them completely new. And Paul is saying, look, man, what a motivating factor. I want to see individuals changed. I want to see individuals like me that were raised in a certain culture taught to hate people based upon the way that they looked or what they said or where they grew up or their parents or grandparents taught in that kind of a culture. I want to see those people transformed by the gospel, changed into completely new creations. I mean, when you look at it in the light of what Paul's saying, nothing compares. Is there anything more exciting than seeing a life changed? To seeing an individual that is filled with sin and rebellion and disobedience and hates God and hates everything else come to Christ and be born again and transformed into a new creation. Is there anything more important? What does our country need? What does our world need? What do your neighbors need? What does the person that sits next to you at your job or your school need? They need to be born again. They need to be saved. And Paul is saying this amazing work of God as he uses me to come to Corinth. Now remember, Corinth was a very perverted city, absolutely filled with all kinds of evil. It was known as an evil place. And Paul went in there and saw the work of God, the Spirit of God move. He saw lives changed. He saw these individuals that were completely twisted and hated God and hated everybody else and all kinds of sin and evil changed into new creations. He saw people that were filled with prejudices, So they no longer judge people by outward appearances. Now they basically said, are you born again or not? Are you saved or not? It doesn't make any difference what color you are. It doesn't make any difference what socioeconomic background you have or who your parents were. The question is, have you come to know Jesus? That's how we view people, as saved and lost. Individuals going to heaven and individuals going to hell. That's the basic fundamental of what's going on around us. And God has enabled us through the ministry to be involved in seeing people come to Christ and being transformed and being changed to the point they're no longer going to hell, they're going to heaven. They're no longer filled with sin and rebellion and they hate God and running from God, despise everything about Him. Now they love Him. Now they're born again. They're new creations. You see the difference? You see why the ministry itself is a motivating factor? Or let me say it like this. We sort of looked at this in our study last Wednesday night. We're looking at Gideon, which is interesting because the lady's going to do that study. I tried to get there really quick before we can sort of preempt this women's Bible study with it. No, just kidding. But we looked at the fact that God came to Gideon and called Gideon. He's a nobody doing nothing, trying to hide his food from the Midianites. And God came and says, basically, look, Gideon, I want to do a work. I want to do an amazing thing. I want to deliver Israel from these Midianites that are filling the land and stealing all your crops. And basically what he does, he comes to Gideon and says, would you like to join me? Would you like to be a part of that? Or do you want to sit here and shuck corn and hide it from the Midianites and hope they don't steal it? Or would you like to keep building widgets? Or flipping burgers? Or do you want to be involved in seeing lives transformed? You see my point? God has invited you to be a part of what He wants to do at your job. He's not saying necessarily leave your job. He's not saying quit. You know, when we were in college, used to kid our people. I remember kidding a couple of guys like, let's just quit school and become full-time Christians, you know. we're full-time Christians no matter what we go. We're ambassadors. We're ministers of the gospel. We're preaching the word. Or another way to say that is this. Well, you want to go just, you know, pushing a pencil or typing on a computer all day long? Or would you like to see lives changed? Would you like to see the Spirit of God do a work wherever you are working or in your school or your neighborhood or your family? And that's the point I'm trying to make. The ministry itself, there's nothing like it. How do you compare that? People want meaning. They want purpose. They want to do something that makes a difference in people's lives. Well, this is it. The ministry itself. Sometimes, from my perspective, in my life, I can't believe that God called me to do what I do. I just can't believe it. Because it's like, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more exciting. There's nothing more relevant. There's nothing more needed. There's nothing more that impacts lives more than the Word of God. And God has called you and me to join Him in the ministry so that lives are transformed. Individuals like Paul that are filled with, maybe you know somebody you're sitting next to at your job or you work with, and they're filled with prejudice. All they're doing is judging everybody else. Do you want to see that life changed? Do you want to see a new creation? Not just that person stop cursing. I mean, that may be good if they stop cursing. I remember one time I was playing a racquetball one time and he was just cursing out of the store. And I said, you know, Brian, I said, I'm a believer, you know, I mean, if you don't mind. I was, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, Brian, I'm a Christian. I said, interesting. I said, why do you think I'm a Christian? Well, I've never hurt anybody. I've not hurt anybody. I said, Brian, so you think you're a good person? He said, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. Can I ask you some questions? The first commandment is you shall have no other gods before you. I said, have you ever had anything before God? Well, yeah. I said, is your car more important than God? Is your family more important? I mean, what is more important than, yeah, he's got, of course. We always have other things that are more important in our lives. I said, have you ever lied? Ever, one time, fibbed, exaggerated, you know, said something you shouldn't have said, trying to hide the truth? That's called lying. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. You ever lied, Brian? Yeah, I've lied. Well, the wages of sin is death. The judgment of God upon a liar is hell. Matter of fact, it says in Revelation, no liar will enter the kingdom of God. I asked him, I said, have you ever looked on another woman to lust after her? Because the Bible says if you look at for lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. You ever done that? Well, yeah. And finally, after we went through some of the commandments, he says, you know, Mark, I'm really not very good, am I? I said, no, you're not, Brian. You're a sinner. You need Jesus. He can change your life. And the whole cursing thing was just symptoms. God can change your heart. So Brian actually came to church. I remember him coming in the first time with his girlfriend. And he sat on the front row, and he lasted about 4 or 5 weeks and finally gave his life to Jesus. But my point in all that is, we're around people like this all the time, and we need to understand the importance of sharing the gospel and realizing that God wants to change them and make them new creations. It's not just don't curse around me. It's not just don't show me pornography on your computer that I'm sitting next to. God wants to change your heart. There's nothing like it. I'm saying it makes people completely new. And then look at verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19 says basically it's about restoring people to their creator. Look in verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us. It says to himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the means by which God reconciles us or brings us back. You see, all of humanity is separated from God. We're lost. We don't know the Lord. Jesus came to die to reconcile, to bring back under his wings, if you will. I'm reminded of Jesus going into Jerusalem. And he knew the judgment of God was coming. He told his disciples, there's not even one stone upon this temple that won't be thrown down. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathered its chicks under his wings, but you would not. God's got such a heart to reconcile, to bring people back. That's what we're doing here. Look in verse 18 again. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, and here's what the ministry is. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation or the gospel. How does God deal with people? What did Jesus do? He came and died on the cross. Why? In order to reconcile us to God. We're all lost. We're all on the wrong road. We're all headed towards hell. We're all separated from our Creator. So in other words, what is the ministry about? It's not about me winning converts to myself or winning disciples for me. It's about me encouraging people to come to know their Creator, to be born again through Jesus Christ, to come to know God because they're separated from God. It's a ministry of reconciliation to bring people, realize, you know, what you need in your life is the Lord. God created you. God made you for a purpose. And until you know the Lord, until you walk with the Lord, until you surrender to the Lord, you're never going to find fulfillment. And again, my point in all this is the ministry. We want to see people connected to, through Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. That is how a person is saved. That is how this person is born again. That's what it means to be a believer. God has brought us into his kingdom. He has saved us. He's changed our lives. We are in Christ. We're part of him. He lives in us. We live in him. We've been reconciled to him. That's why we're changed. That's why we're different. And Paul is saying, this is the ministry. The ministry of seeing people alienated from God, who are living in ignorance and darkness, who don't understand God, who don't even know who he is. And usually when they talk about God, they talk about some religious stuff instead of what the Bible teaches us. And all of a sudden they come to this place where they meet him and know him and they're part of him. He's part of them. They're changed, transformed. They've been reconciled to God. Or another way to say that is every single person who's not reconciled to God will end up in eternity in hell. But every person reconciled to God through Christ will end up in heaven. And Paul is basically saying in our study here, man, it is an amazing revolutionary calling. God's called us to see a revolution in the lives of people in their hearts because they come into contact with their Creator and come to know their Creator through Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, what can compare with that? What occupation, what job, what activity, what hobby comes close to that? Is there anything more rewarding? Is there anything more satisfying? Is there anything more important? You understand what I'm saying? So look, if my point in all that, I'm not saying, God, again, leave your job, but I'm saying, please understand, God has put you in this job. And you're in that job or that neighborhood or that family in order to be salt and light. You are called by God to serve Him and love Him and to be an influence. You have a ministry. And that ministry is one of reconciliation. Your goal is to reconcile this person to Christ, that he would come into this relationship with the Lord and be submitted to the Lord and follow the Lord. Or another way to say that is, before we came to Christ, we were in complete rebellion. I did what I wanted when I wanted to do it. But now as a believer, I just try to do what he wants me to do. We're followers of Jesus. We've been reconciled. We're no longer running from him. We want to run towards him. We want to follow him. And that's what he's saying. He's asked me, Mark, would you come? So here's the deal. When you get called to follow Jesus, called to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a call for you to come to believe in him, to trust in him, to let him deal with your sin, and to be called and to be a part of what he's wanting to do. It's a call to ministry. It's a call to serve him. It's a call to serve others. It's a call to be like Christ. Very important point that Paul's making. Again, he says in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us by Jesus Christ. It's through Christ we come to know God. And then look at it says also in that passage, look in verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That God came, sent Jesus to die on the cross in order to bring people into that relationship they didn't have. When sin entered creation, individuals are separated from God. They don't know the Lord. They're lost. When Jesus came to die on the cross in order to reconcile us to God. Isn't that amazing? It's just a wonderful passage. Then he says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, my sins have been washed in the blood of Christ. The moment you believe in Jesus, all your sins are washed away. Past, present, and future. He dealt with all my sins as we sang that song. Not in part, but the whole. And we bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And look what he says in verse 19. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Another name for the gospel. How does God do this? How does God change lives? By you and I going and preaching the gospel. Just preaching the word. Jesus died on the cross. You're a sinner. You're on the road to hell. God created you for him. God created you himself. He wants you to know him. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. If you'll repent of your sins and turn from your sins and completely commit your life to him, you'll be saved. You'll be reconciled to God. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. God works through the simple preaching of the word. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. So when Paul went to Corinth, what did he do? He preached the gospel. He preached that individuals could be forgiven of their sins, that individuals could know their creator, that individuals could know the purpose and the reason why they're here on the planet, that all their sins could be washed away if they would just repent of their sins and believe and trust in Christ. God would transform their life. That's the ministry God called it to. And Paul says, the ministry of what I'm doing is a motivating factor. I love it. I love what I do. I love the ministry. I love the thrill of it all, the enormity of it all, the dynamics of it all. You never can know what God's going to do next. You know, yeah, you go somewhere, do something, all of a sudden you run into somebody and you start sharing, and all of a sudden you see this person that's really interested. Once in a while, really hungry. Other times you're just sowing seed. People are saying, yeah, you know, one of these Jesus freaks, whatever. I don't need this stuff. But you know, if they don't repent and believe in Christ, they're doomed. They've had it. It's a very important ministry. But also, let me close with this. Look in verses 20 and 21. It's also a ministry of revelation. It's a ministry of revelation. Look in verse 20. Now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, when you go into your job, when you go into your neighborhood or school, you represent God. You're an ambassador. An ambassador is someone from a foreign country sending somebody in that represents them. And we're ambassadors. What is God doing through these people? He's ministering. He's revealing himself. God is telling them, or God is opening their heart up because we're sharing about him. Look what he says in verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. God is pleading through us. God is saying to the sinner, repent and believe in Jesus. What's happening when you're doing that? You're revealing God's heart. You're letting people know that God's not willing that any should perish. He wants you in the kingdom. He wants you saved. He wants you forgiven. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. And this ministry is revealing, we're revealing who God is. You know, people have all kinds of ideas about God. You know, and 99% of them are wrong, completely wrong. That's why Jesus came and walked on the planet, ministered to people, and they couldn't even recognize who he was. I'm reminded of Thomas in my own journey through the Bible. I'm in Acts now, but in John's gospel, you know, Philip comes and says, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And what did Jesus say? Have I been such a long time with you? And you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That's what it's all about. You going into your job and business and them seeing Christ. Them seeing you as an individual. Jesus changed my life. I'm doing this because he changed me. I'm doing this because he made me new. I'm doing this because he's real. And the world is saying, well, we don't even know who God is or if God's real or not. I'm telling you, he changed my life. And when you go into your job and business and you're sharing and you're pleading with people to be reconciled, repent, God is using you. God is speaking through you to that person. What is he saying? Be reconciled. Why go to hell? Why be judged in eternity? Why die without Christ? Why die in your sins? Why live a miserable life with no purpose and meaning? Why? Because Jesus changes everything. You see my point? Why is the ministry appealing? Because wherever I go, the Lord's with me. And as I open my mouth wide, he fills it. And he speaks through me. And he reveals himself through me. And that's a heavy responsibility. And when people know at your work or your job or your school that you're a Christian, they're watching you. You may not think they're watching you. Maybe they're hoping you'll stumble or do something wrong. I've always said, you know, God expects us to make mistakes, but people that are lost don't. But you represent the Lord. And Paul says, I love it. I love walking into Corinth, this absolutely perverted city, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And as I go into this city, God's going with me. And as I preach the gospel and I tell people, remember when he was in Athens? You know, he says, you know, you're trying to worship this God, this to an unknown God. Let me tell you what he's like. That's exactly what we're doing. We're telling lost sinners, let me tell you what God's like. And God's revealing himself through you. God's showing himself through you. You are his ambassador. When you're sharing the gospel, you're telling people Jesus died from the cross for you. That's how much he loves you. Do you understand what the price that he paid for you to be saved and reconciled to him? And when you're going and preaching the gospel, they're seeing the heart of God. They're seeing the love of God. They're seeing the grace of God. They're seeing someone saying, Jesus changed my life. And you don't even believe in him. I'm not following, as Paul says, or Peter says, some cunningly devised fables. I'm following an individual who changed my life from a prejudiced Pharisee hating Christianity to a person who would give my life and laid my life down for the people of Corinth. Explain that. You can't. Except God's real. Except God got a hold of Paul on the road to Damascus and transformed his life. You see my point? The ministry itself, there's nothing like it. There's nothing more exciting. And I'm saying to you, God wants to reveal himself through you. Do you understand that? He wants to show himself. When Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. That's what he's talking about. Let me shine through you. Let me be expressed through you. Preach the gospel. Tell people what I'm like. God's given you a minister of reconciliation. God is speaking through you. Be reconciled to God. Repent and believe in the Lord. God is in you, speaking through you. It's a ministry of revelation. But look also in the last verse. God revealed himself, what he was like in the person of Christ. For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. It's like I said, you know, Jesus comes on the scene and all of a sudden they're talking and they get all upset. Who do you think you are? They're arguing with Christ. They're saying to him, are you greater than our father Abraham? Who do you think you are? And what did Jesus say? Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, that really got to them. What? You say you always existed? I'm reminded of the time there was a guy, remember that? He was a cripple and his friends couldn't get close to Christ because there's so many people. Finally, they climbed up on the roof and they carried this guy on the stretcher on the roof. They broke the roof up, you know, and they had ropes and they were lowering the guy down, you know. Can you imagine them dumping him? They didn't dump him, but they lowered him down. And Jesus looked at the guy and says, your sins are forgiven you. And they're going, who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And then he tells these religious leaders who are criticizing, he says, that you may know that the Son of Man has power enough to forgive sins. Yeah, I'll prove it to you. Then he turns to the man that's crippled and says, take up your bed and walk. And the guy gets healed. How do you argue with that? What is he doing? He's revealing. Christ is revealing what God's like. You see, when a leper or a prostitute came to Jesus, the Pharisees, religious, they wouldn't even come anywhere near those people. If you had any kind of physical defect, you would not even be allowed in the temple. The outer court was called the temple of the court of the Gentiles. Why? The Gentiles could come on the outer court, but they couldn't come in. Only Jews can go in the inner court. And Jesus has the audacity, when there's a guy that's a leper, to go over there and reach out and put his hand on him. And they're like, he touched a leper. No one touches lepers. What is he doing? He's revealing what God's like. He's saying to all these people, God's not what you think he is. He's not like what you think he is. He loves people. He cares about people. He reaches out in hand and he touches sinners and he touches cripples and he touches people in need and he ministers them and loves them and cares about them. When you look at the ministry of Christ, every time, everywhere he went, he was always attracted to the lowest and the dirtiest or the most decrepit people. He was attracted to them. Why? That's God. That's who God is. You see my point? What does the ministry do? The ministry reveals Christ. What is Christ doing? Christ came to reveal what God's like. So we are, in effect, ambassadors of God. We're ambassadors of Christ. And that's the appeal, the motivating factor of ministry. Nothing's like it. Don't look at your job as flipping burgers. Look at your job as I'm here flipping burgers in order to see lives changed. I've got a higher calling than flipping burgers. I've got a higher calling than fixing cars. I've got a higher calling than balancing, bookends or whatever it may be, or auditing things like that. My calling is to see God work through me and change lives. And it changes everything. And so all of a sudden my job flipping burgers is changed into a ministry. A ministry of me walking in there, clocking in, whatever I'm supposed to be there, and letting Christ shine. And encouraging people to follow Christ and praying for every employee that I come in contact with and asking God to move in their hearts. Asking God to open a door for me to share with them, maybe at lunch break or some other time when I run this person and I can tell them about Jesus and share with them the good news about Christ. And all of a sudden this boring job is exciting. There's nothing like it. When Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he's talking to you. Let me ask you like this. Is the ministry itself a motivating factor to you? It's like, I can't wait to serve. I think about all these people this next week serving in VBS. Whether they're doing something that no one sees or they're in there teaching. It's all the same. They're all a part of letting God use them to reveal Christ to these children. Wow. Nothing like it. Let's pray. Father, I just, as I close, and I'd like to ask the worship team to come up, I pray as we think about our communion, we're going to have communion this morning, may we remember that the ministry itself is a tremendous motivator. Paul ultimately says in our study, it changed my life from someone who judged everybody else by their flesh, by the outward appearance, to an individual who didn't do that anymore, but rather, are they saved or lost? A ministry that impacted the Apostle Paul, transformed his life, made him a new creation, not just a better person. We're not talking about better people. It doesn't modify us. It doesn't tinker with us. It absolutely transforms us into new creations. That's what the ministry does. And it makes everybody ambassadors, individuals called by God to follow Jesus into that job, into that school, into that home, and allow God to shine in my life and through my life and impact the lives of those around me. Father, sometimes our hearts are broken because we don't see the impact. We want to see people's lives change. We want them to be different. But Lord, I pray that we would just be faithful to let our light shine. And as we let our light shine, the rest is up to you. We can't save anybody. We can't open anybody's eyes or ears. Only you can do that. But what you do ask us to do is to be salt. You do ask us to let our lights so shine before men. You do ask us to be that ambassador that's sent into that neighborhood and represents Christ and to reach out to the neighbors or the families in that neighborhood and speak to them and befriend them. And if there's a problem or a need or there's opportunity for us to go next door and pray with them or talk to them, we do it. Because we're looking for opportunities to let Christ shine through us. We're ambassadors. That neighborhood's not the goal. It's the people in that neighborhood. That job flipping burgers is not the goal. That paycheck's not the goal. The goal is to see people come to Christ and be transformed. Because all of us as Christians are ministers. We've been called by you and set apart by you as ambassadors in this wicked, perverted country to share Christ and to let our light shine. And we plead with you, God, have mercy upon the souls of these lost people, that their eyes would be opened the way the Apostle Paul was. They would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. They would be transformed into new creations and join us in this amazing ministry of reconciling men back to God. And I just want to pray that as we think about men and women who are lost, that we would just be actively involved in all these things. As these high school seniors or college seniors graduate, may they see themselves launching out, not in some job, rather, a ministry. A ministry far more important than the job. A ministry of changing lives through the simple preaching of the gospel. And I thank you for what you've called us to do. There's nothing like it. There's nothing more exciting, more satisfying, more needed, more relevant, more important to the life of any person than what you've called us to do. And we thank you. We're honored and privileged and in awe that you would invite us, just like you invited Gideon to join you as we go into these jobs and neighborhoods and schools and businesses, to join you as you work through us. I pray you'd help us to remember the suffering you went through in order to make this all possible. In Jesus' name, amen.